This is Carol Fly with High Tech Answers, and at HIMSS 16 in Vegas this year, I had a chance to sit down with Blaine Newton, Senior VP and Chief Operating Officer for HIMSS Analytics. The following is our conversation.
Well, hi, Blaine. So tell me, how is your HIMSS 16 going so far?
Oh, it's going great. Carol, thank you so much. We at HIMSS Analytics came out with a few new offerings for this show. And the energy at our booth has been spectacular, and the conversations at other organizations' booths has also been really strong. You know, we're hearing a lot of things about on-demand healthcare and kind of getting more detailed and descriptive about population health. So it's a really exciting week this year. And like I said, our new Logic market intelligence tools being very well received, as are some of the new maturity models we've come out with around value score and some changes to MRM. So all in all, it's been a great couple of days so far.
Yeah. Well, there's always buzzwords and sort of themes that go with each HIMSS, yeah. You know, whether it's meaningful use or interoperability or HIE, but certainly analytics last year and this year, big presence is what I see.
Yeah, no question. Analytics and kind of we're moving past the pure adoption and implementation space and getting towards optimization, and to do that optimization, you need really sophisticated analytics tools to make sense of these mountains of data that are coming in, and you can get to the precision medicine as another buzzword that we're hearing a lot of, with President Obama driving some initiatives around that. But certainly, the Uberization of healthcare is a new trend that I'm hearing this year, American Well and Teladoc are doing some really interesting things there, and partnering with some of the big traditional vendors like Cerner to bring really exciting things to healthcare.
Yeah. It's so funny that we're now taking Uber and creating verbs out of it.
It's wild. It absolutely is wild. But you see some of the things that are happening with One Medical out in San Francisco, and where you can click a button on your phone and have a face-to-face visit with a provider and a specialist in basically real time. And how does that impact? It's going to be interesting to see how that impacts the traditional healthcare delivery system in the U.S. and frankly around the rest of the world as that technology matures.
Yeah. So speaking of analytics, so from our market driver standpoint, what are you seeing in America versus, obviously HIMSS is worldwide, what you're seeing in Europe, the Middle East, Africa, Asia Pacific?
Sure. In the U.S. Start with the U.S., we see government regulation still playing a major role. Obviously, meaningful use is starting to kind of wane, that program did just incredible things in terms of driving adoption. So we have the highest levels of adoption anywhere in the world in the U.S. Didn't necessarily address some of the physician satisfaction or patient engagement questions that we're now seeing that with with meaningful use kind of going away or at least dwindling, we're seeing a lot of innovation coming out of the vendors so they can now get back into that innovation cycle. So a lot of new exciting things coming out of it. We're also seeing what we call the silver tsunami driving healthcare in the U.S.
So, tsunami.
Yeah, we have over 10,000 people. Yes,
the gray hairs.
The gray hairs, exactly. We have over 10.
That's a nice way of saying that.
Exactly. Over 10,000 people a day in the U.S. are turning 65, right? And so, how do we manage that population? People are living longer. There's more care. It just gets very expensive. So, we're applying technology to try to manage that, and it's pretty exciting to see. And a lot of interesting things happening on the floor of the show around that. That's clearly a driver. That's also a huge driver in Asia-Pac, the aging populations. But 90% of the spend happening in Asia-Pac is really locked into a few countries, South Korea, Singapore, India, and China. And so we're starting to see activity in other areas. You know, Australia's doing some pretty innovative things, and Indonesia's and Malaysia's starting to wake up and do some pretty innovative things. The challenges there are a little bit different than we have in the U.S. or even mainland China, in that you look at a place like Indonesia, it's got 10,000 islands, right? So how do you manage care across a very diverse geographical continuum? And to see what technologies will come up to enable that, we're starting to see a lot of activity in sub-Saharan Africa, in growth of in infrastructure of IT. So the world's growing very quickly. In Europe, we're also starting to see some of the government initiatives coming into play. So there's talk about meaningful use type programs, that not at that scale, but in France and other countries in Europe. So that'll be interesting to watch and see if it starts to spin up some growth.
Yeah. And so from a spending standpoint, where is the majority of health IT spending occurring now, and how do you see this changing in the next few years?
Sure. As we come out of the at least in the U.S., which is still by far the largest market in terms of spend in the world, in healthcare IT, we're coming out of the big capital purchase phase, and a lot of that capital spend to implement the big EMRs are shifting to more operating spends in the cloud, SaaS-type software systems. And so, and those are really being focused on clinical analytics, business analytics, patient engagement, population health management. So all those things, that they're really focused on optimizing the delivery systems to improve clinical outcomes, improve financial returns, and finally address the patient-provider satisfaction and engagement questions, which is exciting to see. We also are expecting to see, with value-based care, a significant investment in revenue cycle. So that market, based on the data that we have in Logic, which we collect data from every hospital and health system in the country, on what they're planning to buy, what they have, excuse me, where they're set up, our data shows that revenue cycle is primed for a very significant investment period over the next several years to address the change to the value-based care.
You talk about value-based care and meaningful use, of course, is, I guess, transitioning into the MIPS area, mm-hmm. 2017. So how are these incentive programs, in your opinion, really moving the needle in healthcare?
Well, meaningful use clearly moved the needle. The EMR adoption model that HIMSS Analytics put out, it's about 10 years old now, we're updating it this year. If you use that as a proxy for adoption and sophistication or levels of sophistication, the meaningful use program took us in the U.S. from less than 5% of the hospitals and health systems in the U.S. had above stage 5. Now 60% are above stage 5. And stage 5, just for kind of level set, is really driving towards truly paperless operations within a health system and is beyond the meaningful use scale. So meaningful use not only pushed people to start, but actually pushed them further once they got going. And so, you know, we're seeing that type of activity. There's talk of happening in Canada, and if that happens, it'll unleash a significant amount of investment and activity in Canada. It's interesting, if you look at the MRM scores in Canada compared to the U.S., they're where the U.S. was pre-meaningful use, so it's almost a mirror image.
Right.
So it's a really interesting shift, and so you can see the impact of that investment that the U.S. made in adoption. We expect to see that around the world as well. I don't think we'll ever see anything at the scale of meaningful use globally. It's just a huge investment to make. And you could argue whether it was appropriately done, but clearly as you look at physician satisfaction as an example, but no one can argue that it did drive adoption, which you have to have, quote unquote, the plumbing in the walls before you can have the data to analyze and do good things with. So it was effective at getting the plumbing in the walls.
I mean, the results are there. You know, it's sort of like the plumbing's in the wall. Maybe the house is framed, and now we gotta complete the build and paint it.
That's absolutely right, and that's, you know, the energy on the floor of the show talking about the innovative new technologies that can do the finishing work to take us to that next level of precision medicine, of moving to value-based care, of getting patients involved. We did a recent research report in partnership with a few other research firms globally, and it shows that the single fastest growing and what will soon to be largest area of investment is in the patient engagement space, whether that be consumer product, whether that be telemedicine or portals or whatever that catch-all bucket means. That's going to be an explosive area of growth. So we're now at a point, because of the adoption levels we have, where we can actually engage the patient in the conversation, which is just a really great place to be.
The Uberization of healthcare.
Uberization,
I love that.
Healthcare. Yes, back to the Uberization of healthcare. It's disintermediating the traditional care pathways and really allowing the patient some say in how this works. And it's a lot of fun to be a part of right now.
Blaine, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.